Pastor Bill, because he's not here this morning. But Pastor Bill has a challenge, and so does everybody that does what he does for a living. And here's the challenge that he has. He has to make sure that he doesn't confuse what he does all week with his service to God. And that's happened to a lot of ministers. Like, he gets up in the morning and he does these devotions, and he comes and he studies the Word. That's part of his job, right? And he takes calls, and he visits widows, he visits orphans, he goes to the hospital, he's involved in the community works, he's doing all kinds of things, he preaches sermons, and he does that week after week, year after year. And he's so busy, I don't know he's like personally, but I could pretty well guess that he's so busy that his entire life could be filled with that, and he still wouldn't do enough. Because there's still somebody else that needs help, right? So it's really easy for him, and it's a trap for him to get caught up into thinking, well, I'm really busy and I'm really serving God and I'm really doing well. That's my service to God. And then that all of a sudden, that's all there is. And eventually, we're going to come to church on Sunday and we're going to walk out going, oh, that was pretty shallow. Because he didn't really spend time with the Lord, and he had to yank out a sermon that was written by somebody else. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it happens. Now, if that's a challenge for him, that's a danger for him, then we've got the exact same kind of a challenge, but on the other side of the coin. See, we have to be consciously aware that our service for God is not what just goes on inside of us. Because, like, I'm not getting up tomorrow morning and going to visit people at the hospital. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and go and work on some files, right, that have nothing to do with being a Christian or any of that stuff. So it's easy for me to think, well, my real spirituality is when I'm actually down on my knees and praying. Well, that's true. Or when I'm reading the Word, or when I'm in church on Sunday. It's really easy for me to think that my Christianity doesn't really play itself out on Monday morning. Unless, of course, I'm witnessing to somebody at break, right? That's the old physical thing. But no, just like he has to make sure that he understands that what he does outwardly is not all that there is involved to his service of God, I have to go to work tomorrow morning and realize that my service to God, that's just as important in my service to God as when he goes and does his hospital visits or when he prepares for sermons on Sunday, because that's where I am. And when Peter says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are perfect, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are good, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. He's actually telling Pastor Bill, I want you to bring word on Monday morning, on Sunday rather, that's going to really minister to the people. But he's also telling Mike McGagan, if you're going to build a lobster boat, it better be a good one.
That's right.
Right? If you're going to fish for oysters, you better do it well. Do it honestly. Do it uprightly. Do it with all your, whatever it is that you do. Whatever it is, the whatsoever has just as much to do with when I go to work on Monday as when he goes to work on Monday. And my service in what I'm doing is just as much of a service to God from my perspective as what he does from his. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, it's so easy to think, if I won the lottery, I'd be happy. If I was a preacher, I'd be serving God. No. There's all kinds of ministers that aren't serving God. Right? So whatsoever means whatsoever we are doing. And that's the real challenge. It's to find fulfillment in our service to God in our everyday lives. There's where the real joy of living is. Because in reality, yes, sure, I can save my money up and fly over to Africa and go to an orphanage and meet some people and take some pictures and give them a check for $2,000. But in reality, I mean, that was a really nice trip and it was worthwhile doing and it was enjoyable and it was fulfilling and everything else. But the bigger picture was we didn't really make a whole lot of impact on a lot of people. If I go for supper with the pastor after church on Sunday in Ethiopia, I didn't have much impact on the pastor. We shared a meal together. It was good though, and I want to do it again. But reality is where I really have an impact is where I am every day. Here's something that Martin Luther King Jr. said. Everybody heard of him? Okay. If it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, to go out and sweep, then go out and sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Handel and Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper, and he did his job well. That's how you serve God. If you're going to be a street sweeper, you do it as unto the Lord. Did I just make that phrase up, or have we all heard that before? Do it as unto the Lord. The older I get sometimes, I actually remember things that aren't true. It's scary. It's scary. Right? So I didn't just make that up, did I? But do whatever you find yourself doing, do it as unto the Lord. Well, there you go. He's got to do what he does as unto the Lord, and I got to do what I do as unto the Lord, and they're both as unto the Lord, and to the Lord receives them both, depending on what's in our hearts. If I sweep streets begrudging that I'm not, you know, the city planner, then my street sweeping is in vain. Right? Same with this. It's what's in our heart. Ephesians 6, 5 to 9. Servants. Servants. Our context today is employees. Us. What we find ourselves to do. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. So when I go to work tomorrow, I do it as unto Christ. It's part of my service, part of my walk with the Lord. And that's my challenge, because it's so easy for me, maybe you're the same as me, but it's so easy for me, okay, I work 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, and that's all that there is. I'm going to go there, I'm going to do my job, and I'm going to check out and go home. And then I got all these other things that I can do. And if I did that, I'm just going to be the same. I'm never going to excel. I'm never going to get any better. I'm never going to get any real joy in it, because eventually that 9 to 5 is going to take away from other stuff that I'd rather be doing. But if I have joy in what I'm doing, I never really am going to work. And there are people in every profession, in every walk of life, that never really go to work because they have joy in what they do. They poured themselves in to what they do. You know, how do we serve God at work? The way Bernie fishes. Now, you don't know Bernie, but I'll tell you about Bernie. Bernie's the fellow that I worked with at a mill when I was young, in college, and in the summertime I was at this other up north in Ontario, and was working, helping out in the church, and then I was working at the mill because the church didn't pay a salary, right? But there was this guy that was just one of the laborers, and he loved to fish. And when Bernie talked about fishing, it was like something I never heard before. When Bernie talked about fishing, it was like watching Michelangelo paint, or I would assume, maybe not that great, but the same kind of thing. He wouldn't just talk about, I went and caught 20 fish. No. He would talk about the time of day and the temperature of the water and the way the fly landed on the water. And he said, I'd try to aggravate that trout. I'd try to get him worked up. And I'm thinking, nobody talks about fishing like this. What is this guy, like a Jedi fisherman? Like, what is he, you know? But he was on such a different level with fishing, because it was his passion. Pile and pulp wasn't. Fishing was. He had that passion. And man, it was really something. I remember hearing him think, because I love to fish, but I never, ever knew what he did about fishing. And I remember the context. One Friday afternoon, he says, I'm going fishing tomorrow, boys, and I'm going to the Ganarasky River. The trout are running. And on Monday morning, he had a big Pontiac Strato Chief. Remember the Pontiac Strato Chief? It was big. Right? And his wife drove him into the yard, and he said, guys, come over here. And we all come over to the Strato Chief, and he went over and he opened up the trunk, and in the trunk he had a fish. And it was a trout, and it was in a garbage bag. The head was in the corner and the tail was sticking out the other end. It was some fish. But he pulled it out, and it was huge, right? I've never caught a fish like that, but he did. He was passionate about it. He was the best that you could be at that particular thing. So it doesn't really matter what it is. If you're the best at it, you're going to excel. And for him, that day, that was catching fish. You know, another famous Christian poet said this. He said, "Work," and by work I mean what you're doing with your hands. So for him, I'll just throw the going fishing as part of that. He says, "Work is love made visible. And if you cannot work with love, but only with distaste, it is better that you should leave your work and sit at the gate of the temple and take alms of those who work with joy." Because if I go to work and I'm one of these people that are not happy and I'm sour, there's nobody going to look at me and thinking, whatever he's got, I want. Right? I could preach as loud as I want. I could hand out tracts as much as I want. But if they're looking at me and they're just seeing that first guy in that first room that I visited when I was 20, there's nobody going to want any of that. Because they're already all stocked up. The shelves are all full of that stuff because it's everywhere as you go and it's free. Right? It really is. Let me just read you another little story here. It talks about this kind of thing. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus told his disciples, in NIV again, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is it that I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be the manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What am I going to do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'm going to do when I lose my job, so that people will be good to me.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors, and he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, 'How much do you owe?' 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, 'Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager. Whoa. So see what happened there? Like the manager, there's two things happened. The manager said, I got to do something that's going to endear me with these people that I live with. So he called him in and he said, Claude, how much do you owe the store? I'm working at the general store. And Claude says, $5,000. He goes, here's a bill that says you owe $2,500. Sign that. And by the way, pay me. Right? Right? So master got $2,500. I'm adding that myself. So you'd think he did it because, you know, when I'm laid off, I want to be able to call Claude up and say, "Hey, I hear you're making roast beef on Saturday night." Well, love me my roast beef. Right? So he's gonna remember what I did for him and he's gonna invite me over. That's presumably what's gonna happen, right? That's why I did that. But the owner of the business, he saw it different. He said, "You know what? The guy has finally showed some ambition. He finally showed some gumption. He finally did his work with a little bit of zeal. He went out and actually did something." So, you know, he commended him for that. And then it says this. And now, that story is probably not very familiar to a lot of us because you don't hear many sermons preached on that. But we all have heard this. It's right after this. "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Be faithful with little and you'll be ruler over much." That's the same verse, different version. "And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property," people I work for, "who will give you property of your own? No man can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now, this goes right back to what I was talking about before. You see, if I'm faithful in the small things, and what does that mean? If I'm faithful in what I find myself doing on Monday morning and Tuesday and Wednesday, if I'm faithful in that, If I take that and make something out of it, then God can say, well, Bob's, he's passing his test. We've given him something to do. He's thankful, he accepted it, and he's making something out of it. Now we can give him something more. You see that? And he also says, look, you can't serve God in money. And here's what I think that means. I can't come to church on Monday morning and fervently be a Christian and worship God and everything is great. And when I'm alone in my closet, everything is that way there. And then when I go to work, I think, well, now I'm going to do something completely different. And I'm going to do this. It has nothing to do with that. If I'm going to have that attitude and if I succeed that way, it means I've had to put all this on the shelf. But if I can, if I succeed on Monday and do it as my service to God, now all of a sudden I'm not serving two masters. Because if I don't see God in my work, the only reason why I'm working is for money. And then I really am just serving money. But if I sweep those streets as my service to God, that's a totally different thing. And if I do my work as my service to God, then I'm going to excel because I want to do something that's worthwhile. You know, when you look at anything, any endeavor of man, the highest that man achieves is when he or she believes that they're doing something that's bigger than themselves. I watched a documentary one time that fascinated me. It was on the making of a Japanese samurai sword. A technological marvel from 1,000 years ago. The dedication that went into one of those swords, if you were to make a sword today like they made them back then, it'd be worth $1 million just from the effort and time and expertise that went into it. The reason why the people at every step, the person that forged the metal, the person that smelted the metal, then the person that forged that ingot into the metal that would be eventually used to make the sword, and then the person that took that sword and sharpened it, and then the person that took all of that and learned how to use it. The reason why there was so much dedication all the way through was because the people that were doing that back then believed that that sword represented the samurai's soul. I'm not saying it did, it was, but they believed it. So everything they did, everything they poured into that process was with that goal in mind. What we're doing here is bigger than ourselves. What we're doing here is sacred. And because of that, all other things fell off the wayside and they focused only on that. And they produced something that was really quite extraordinary. Now, mind you, it was used for a lot of bad stuff, but it was quite extraordinary in itself. A lot of expertise and passion was poured into it because they believed it was part almost of their religion. And so the same passion is available for you and I in whatever we find ourselves doing. It doesn't really matter what that is. Whatsoever things you do, do it as unto the Lord. And you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. So what is your whatsoever? What is it that you should be giving thanks for? You know, the world that we live in is full of distractions. There's all kinds of things that are going to keep you from being a better you. And those things in and of themselves are not really bad, but there are all kinds of distractions. You know, it's the little foxes, not the big bad wolf, that we got to watch out for. Because I think we got the big bad wolf for the most part taken care of. Like, you know, we're not doing a lot of stuff that people could look at and say, well, that's really bad. But maybe I'm being distracted by little things that are just eroding away, that are keeping me from doing a better job at this or being a better person at that. Things that are keeping me from excelling. And for me, as I'm getting ready to go through that next phase, and I'm telling myself, okay, Bob, you've got to focus on what it is you want to accomplish in the next 10 years of your life. The Lord might knock me off the horse on the way to Emmaus. I'm always open to that, right? But for the most part, that doesn't happen. Are you like me? For the most part, if I'm here, it's because I decided to come here, right? Every now and then, I get distracted. There's divine intervention once in a while, and I say, oh, okay, fine, Lord, I'll do that. But most of the time, he says, you know, You choose this day who you will serve. You choose this day the path that you will walk in. That's been my reality. So I've got to focus on where it is I want to be. And I've got to focus on what it is I'm going to do and how my service to God is going to play out every day. Because there's certainly all kinds of distractions that are there just to keep me busy until all of a sudden I'm at the end of the line and I go, what did I do? What have I accomplished? It's all over and I didn't do enough. I wasn't everything I could have been. Here's a great phrase. I don't think I made this one up either. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What's God's will for you? Look, in everything, whatever situation that you're in, give thanks. Accept it. Make the best of it. That's the will of God in Christ concerning you. That's how I'm going to play my Christianity out, is what I find myself doing every day. So everything includes, you know, everything includes where you are. Today, we're here in church. Everything includes what you're doing, doesn't it? Today, we happen to be listening to a sermon, worshiping God, giving. Those are all really good things. But everything also includes why. Why are you here? Why are you in church? Why do you worship? Why do you do the things that you do? See, why, the why brings us from whatsoever to whosoever. Let's go back now to the two gentlemen that we started off this morning with. Let's go back to them. Okay? But this time, they're not laying on a bed in a senior's home in Sherbrooke. This time, and they're the same person. This time, those two men that we never met are hanging on a cross on either side of Jesus. This time. One of them looks over and says, if you be the Christ, save yourself and us. The other says, remember me when you get into paradise. See, one of them wanted proof. Show me. Prove to me. The other one had faith. I believe you are who you said you are. See, we're all heading towards that particular moment, aren't we? When everything we've done in the past comes down to that. It's either kicking and screaming because I don't know where I'm going, or Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And how we feel about that particular moment is going to be influenced by and large how we've lived our lives, how and what we've done with what God has given to us, the opportunities that we've had, the situations that we've been in, and the life that we've lived. The farther away I get from those two old guys in that bed, in their beds in the nursing home, the farther away I get, it's 40 years now, the farther away I get from them, the closer I get to them. I'm a lot closer to that day now than I was 40 years ago, right? And so are all of us here today. So it all boils down to why we do what we do and how we serve God and what we focus on if we're going to be that second guy, both in the bed and both on the cross. Can we stand? Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word this morning. I pray that it's challenged all of our lives. I pray that before we leave here and go back into our routines, that we all take a look inside. We all ask you, How should we walk the path that you put before us? And I pray that you would help us to commit to serving you in whatsoever situation that we are in. And I pray that, Lord, you would help us all to realize that we have an opportunity to serve you tomorrow, no matter what our lot is, no matter what our path is. We can pour our hearts into it and serve you with zeal through whatever it is that we're doing. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would be in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that your strength would be ours. I pray that we would have the vision to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, as we go along that journey, to see you in everything that we do, in everything that we are. I pray in Christ's name. And just before we go, if you need that refocus, to recommit yourself that, you know, this is the path that God has put me on, and I want to serve God in this particular path. I want to serve God where I am right now. Doesn't mean you've been out going the wrong way. It's just that you've kind of lost your focus that, you know what, whatever you're doing tomorrow morning, that's how you're serving God. And God can work through you wherever you are, and people can see the excellence of Christ through you every single day. That's a challenge. But if you're here and that just challenges you, I know for me it's easy because I've decided, you know what, when I hit this particular year, 2015, I'm going to make that refocus again. So I've been doing that. But if that's where you are and you say, Lord, I need to refocus myself to do the same kind of thing, then why don't we just spend a little bit of time up here before we go back into our busy lives? Why don't we just spend this time and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Here I am, Lord. Use me.